Welcome back to Upstate's Health and Gone Air. Linda Cohen along with you. Well, you know, AIDS is no longer the killer it once was, but it is still with us. And this morning, joining us is Dr. David Parr. He's an associate professor of medicine specializing in infectious diseases, and he's also the medical director of the designated AIDS Center here at Upstate Medical University. And joining him and us is Kelly Flood, and she is a social worker, and she's also the assistant program director for the same center. Thank you so much for coming in today. We want to talk about what's going on with AIDS these days. I think a lot of people obviously at one time thought of it as a death sentence, and it's no longer that. What exactly is happening with AIDS today?
Good morning, Linda. It's a pleasure to be here. AIDS no longer is a death sentence because treatment has come so far. We have, you know, nearly 30 medications now that we use in combination to treat people, and people are living nearly normal lifespans. So it isn't the death sentence that it once was in the United States and in other developing countries.
Yeah, but that's an important point, though, because obviously in places like Africa, we've been told it's rampant and people are dying from it. Is that still true?
That's absolutely right, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa. In some places, up to 20% of men and women are infected with HIV, and there's a whole generation of children who are growing up without parents because of the infection. Now, some of the medications are available in the developing world, a limited number, and people are being treated and they're actually doing better. But still, far less than half of the population in Africa is on medications.
So it's still quite a significant problem.
It's a very significant problem. And, you know, the issues, so there are some medications that are available. You know, the hospital situations aren't always optimal. A lot of the people live in the countryside, in villages where they don't barely have access to medical care. And so satellite hospitals or clinics need to be set up for them. So it's quite difficult in the developing world, in Africa in particular.
Kelly, in this country, though, we've seen, as Dr. Parr alluded to, it seems like we really have gotten a whole regimen in place that is supporting people. Is that true? Would you say it's pretty true throughout the United States, or do we have pockets of problems too?
There are pockets of problems because getting access to care or getting access to the medications due to insurance issues is still a problem for people. So there are areas of the country where people are on waiting lists in order to get coverage so they can get medications.
Is the medication still very expensive?
Yes. Or,
so you really have to have insurance, to be able to support it?
Private insurance, Medicare, Medicaid, or the AIDS Drug Assistance Program. And there are a number of states where there's a waiting list for the AIDS Drug Assistance Program.
Wow. So I think what needs to be said here, because I think before we started, we were chatting about this, is that because a lot of people have thought over the last probably decade or maybe a little less that AIDS is no longer the death sentence it was, perhaps they're not people who are engaging in sexual activity are not always as careful as they might be. Is that your experience, Dr. Parr?
Yeah, I think that is quite true, Linda. And, you know, where we see that mostly, overall in the United States, the epidemic is either at a flat line or even slightly going down. But there are subgroups like young men who have sex with men. There's an increasing rate of HIV infection because they don't see their peers dying the way that, say, gay men in their 50s saw their peers die. So there are these subpopulations, yes.
And because of that, they engage in this kind of unprotected sex and risky behavior. It's basically more rampant then.
It is spread more rampantly. And here's the thing. People who are engaging in unsafe behaviors and acquire HIV, during your first 6 months of infection, there's a lot of virus in your bloodstream replicating. And so they're usually asymptomatic. Then they're having sex with the next person. And the high virus makes it much more likely to transmit.
Wow. So that sounds like there's a message in that. Yeah. So, I mean, clearly people have to understand that even though it may not kill you immediately, mm-hmm. you need to engage in responsible sexual practices so that you protected sex, yes. so that you don't potentially spread it to innocent people.
Exactly. And, you know, in the United States today, there are about 1 million people who are infected with HIV. About 75% know their status. The other 25% don't know their status. And those are the people who are spreading the disease. And that's why in 2006, the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta recommended that everybody in between 13 and 63 years of age have at least one HIV test as part of their routine medical care, and more based on a history of risk factors.
That's interesting. So is that happening? I mean, Kelly, do you think people are being tested? Because it seems like there's such, the potential in my mind as a layperson is that there's so much stigma still attached to having HIV mm-hmm. or AIDS, mm-hmm. that you might not be willing to take that, mm-hmm. to take the test mm-hmm. and even have that as part of your medical record.
Mm-hmm. Stigma is alive and well, and it's HIV is the only disease that I'm aware of that has such a stigma. People can lose their jobs, their housing, their families can abandon them. If somebody had cancer, that doesn't happen.
So it's
very difficult. You know, we have over 900. We're closing in on 1,000 patients just in our clinic, and we cover the 17 county area. But most of the patients come from Onondaga County, mm-hmm. And we get newly diagnosed patients referred to us all the time.
But the point mm-hmm. is that what you're suggesting is that people are very reluctant to perhaps undergo this. I mean, despite a CDC recommendation to the contrary, people are very reluctant to undertake that blood test mm-hmm. for fear that they might inadvertently have contracted HIV.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, it doesn't make sense because they're afraid they have it, but if they knew they had it, then they can get treated. And, you know, again, treated people have basically a normal lifespan, particularly if they're treated early in their disease. And then also when one is treated and you stop the viral replication in the blood, you're also, even if you engage in unsafe behaviors, you're much, much less likely to transmit.
Which is key,
yes.
because then we don't have the continual spread.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Kelly?
New York State now has a law that says that people need to be offered the test between the ages of 13 and 64. They should be offered the test at least once. And so now, whether you go to a primary care doctor, whether you go to an emergency room, whether you go to an urgent care center, people are supposed to be offered the test. People clearly can decline, but we've received a number of referrals for newly diagnosed patients because testing is being offered more frequently now than it was.
So it is making a difference. The mere fact that it's available. Mm-hmm. I read somewhere that there was a new strategy, a national HIV/AIDS strategy. Do you know about that? Something that was launched in July of 2010. I guess maybe it's part of this whole access to care and testing.
Yeah, I don't know if you're talking about the president's plan.
I believe so, yeah.
For AIDS in this country, and I don't know the exact name of it, but I believe that that's what you're talking about. And yes, and it's exactly, we're trying to get people to be educated about HIV and to be tested for HIV and then to get on early treatment. Early treatment is the key to longevity mm-hmm. and also prevention of transmission.
So what's happening right here in Central New York? I know you have it designated here at Upstate Medical University. You have a designated AIDS center. Mm-hmm. Who are your patients? I mean, what kinds of people are we seeing infected with AIDS here in Central New York? And does it kind of reference what's going on in the country at large? Does it resemble?
Yeah. We have we serve adults in our clinic, so we have people from age 18 to well into their 70s. All walks of life. So we have people that are professionals. We have people that have never worked. Folks that have underlying mental health issues or substance abuse issues are more likely to get infected. And we spend a lot of our effort, in addition to providing the direct medical care, we have supports for folks. Everyone has a social worker. We have some supplemental programs. We can provide mental health services on site, some substance abuse treatment referral kinds of things. We have a nutritionist on site.
Wow.
Because it's not just providing the medications and the lab work and the ongoing care of the chronic medical illness. It's also dealing with all the psychosocial issues.
Obviously.
People need housing. If you don't have adequate housing, you're not coming to your medical appointments because that's not a priority for you. If you don't have any income, you know, coming to medical appointments isn't a priority for you. And our staff help the patients access those services either directly or by referral to community agencies.
How is all this paid for? It seems like that's an enormous amount of service that you're offering to people who may be indigent, in fact.
Yeah, well, for the indigent people, Kelly made mention of the AIDS Drug Assistance Program. Oh, I think it was back in the mid-80s, Congress passed a bill called the Ryan White Funding, which was to provide the kinds of services plus antiretroviral therapy, the medications that we use to treat HIV, to provide funding for each of the states, and the states also had to provide a certain amount of funding to pay for the care for people who didn't have insurance. So there's very good funding, but, you know, it's also, you know, it's difficult to access. I mean, you need the support that Kelly described, social work support, transportation, et cetera, to access all of these entitlements that are available.
Now, you alluded to the fact, Kelly, that we had almost 1,000 patients currently in your institute.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in your center. Yeah,
right.
In your clinic. Yeah, that's amazing. And are you hoping now at this point to get the word out that if there are people, you said most are from Onondaga County, but mm-hmm. you do cover a much wider range in terms of catchment area or people who could benefit from these services?
Yeah.
So is it important for people to know that they could come from all the, you know, outlying counties?
Yes.
Contiguous counties.
Right. There are some other providers in other counties. We're not the only one, but we're the largest, and we're a center of excellence for HIV care. And so there are providers who don't accept ADAP, and we do. So those folks would come to us. We're the only mental health provider that takes ADAP in our entire 17-county region. So we provide services that some people can't get closer to home.
And how would they find out about the clinic? I mean, is it something if you just called the general Upstate Connect number, you would be able to be connected to the clinic and get the hours and all of that?
Yes, yeah, absolutely, yes.
Right.
And we have a website as part of the hospital's website. So
wonderful. Mm-hmm. So you really are doing an incredible service mm-hmm. then to our community and clearly offers it to people, you know, all around the region. So I applaud you for that effort. And I think the key point that I got out of listening to both of you today is that it's really important to know if you might be infected with HIV, and then to take early and aggressive action and to seek the kind of medical care and social care and all the other kind of support services that are available so that you may not then unknowingly pass the disease on.
Absolutely. You know, the knowledge is really what's going to help to control the epidemic.
Sounds wonderful. Well, thank you so much. My guests have been Dr. David Parr. He's the Associate Professor of Medicine. He specializes in infectious diseases, and he's the Medical Director for the Designated AIDS Center at Upstate Medical University. And with him has been Kelly Flood. She's a social worker, and she's the Assistant Program Director for that program. Thank you so much for coming and sharing that with us today. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more HealthLink on Air right after this short break.